So today I'm going to talk real briefly about a project we started in Massachusetts looking at the providers that feed into our system and how we're going to build a catalog of those providers, I call it, and then feed that catalog into some visualization processes and start to see what it can tell us about these providers that we depend on so heavily. A bit of background. Massachusetts has been collecting reportable conditions through MAVEN for nearly a decade, so there's a ton of data in there. And the cases are largely lab-initiated, and they're reported via our ELR system. And within that ELR record, elements include those for the testing lab, the ordering facility, and the ordering provider. But this collection of providers upon which we depend for this timely and accurate data is not really well understood. There hasn't been any systemic review of all of these data. So our goal was to build out a catalog, as I call it, structuring and enhancing this collection that offers some new means of exploring our system and the data within it. With this higher confidence in a validated catalog of providers, we can look at some pattern recognition and some visualization and try and stimulate some new hypotheses, a different way of looking at our data. The lab provider network is modeled in MAVEN as this hierarchical model, starting with typically an ordering provider. An ordering provider will typically send specimens to a testing facility. About half the time. The other half the time, they work with partner with some sort of ordering facility, perhaps a hospital, and that ordering facility then forwards both data and the samples onto testing facilities. And all of that data gets funneled into our ELR system, where the testing facilities are providing the data into MAVEN through ELR. What you see here is really just a simplified schema of the one ordering provider and its connections. Now, if you multiply this out about 1,000-fold, and you have 40,000 providers in around Massachusetts, and 1,000 different testing facilities and 1,000 different ordering facilities, you can see the problem becomes much more difficult to wrap your head around and start to analyze. So the question we have is, how can we explore this landscape of providers? How do we get there? So initially, we took a raw data set extract out of MAVEN and pulled about 1.7 million lab records that we had in there. And the data set looks something like this. Our provider details are on the right-hand side here with the testing facilities in the purple, the ordering facilities in the blue, and the ordering providers in the gray here. That color scheme is going to be important as we move on. Additional header information for each of these, disease code and specimen date, a fairly simple extract here. And you could start here and say start aggregating data, rolling it all up, and start throwing some analytics at it. But immediately you run into a big problem, and that is the large proportions of free text values in the system, largely stemming from the other specified category. And of course, we're really dependent on how the data arrives through ELR without a real kind of eye on. And that really leads to a wide variation, of course, in the spelling, punctuation, abbreviation, format, elements, all from these free text descriptions. It lacks any sort of systemic validation of much of these data, so you end up with a lot of duplication in the system. There's really no cross-referencing against provider indexes out there. And in addition, we don't get a whole lot of information about that provider. There's really not a lot of other attributes associated. What is their type of practice? What is their specialties? That sort of thing. So it's pretty clear the first thing we had to do was some pre-processing and tidy up this data set. So I used a tool called OpenRefine. I don't know if anyone's familiar in here. And it calls itself a power tool for working with messy data, right? And so for me, it's been particularly helpful and has these flexible and fast, user-friendly sort of text transformation tools in it that help analysts tidy up data sets such as this one. It's free and open source, and it runs and it's installed locally. So you don't have to reach out over the network at all. You can just install it in your own machine, and so it's confidential and it adheres to all those security features. So I've loaded 50 records from a dummy data set here with free text provider names, and this mimics the data set that we're using for this project. And you can see I don't know if you can see that right now, but there's significant variation within these 50 records here. Same doctors, there's about 5 or 10 doctors in here. They're just spelled differently, different suffixes and prefixes and that sort of thing. Well, first thing we do is use some deduplication and clustering algorithms. It's really sort of a similarity index build out that's integrated into this tool and allows you to really set a single output value and use that clustering tool to simplify and create a single value for all variants of a single provider. We can do some quick faceting or basically build frequency counts and try to build a data profile for all of our data columns. Here we've been able to reduce 26 different reported provider name variants down to the 5 unique providers in this dummy data set here. So now that we believe we have more confidence in a unique set of provider names, this collection, it's really just a bunch of names. And so the next step is really taking this and validating those names and enriching this catalog, extending it out and adding data to it, taking it from a list and creating a catalog. Again, OpenRefine is a very useful tool here. It lets you match up against some web services out there, virtually any one of the array of data sources out there, whether it's over the web or it's on your own machine. It has these integrated extensions, kind of like add-ons for add-ins for other Microsoft tools. For us, we're actually going to use it, and we're going to attach our data to the National Provider Index API, and we're going to look at the CLIA index, and we're also attached to a geocoding service. And then we're going to take the results of those matches, and we're going to drag back some extended attributes for the matches we've found, provider type, affiliations, XY coordinates. So again, our raw data set, our dummy data set here with 50 records, I've reconciled, is the term they use, or matched our names against the National Provider Index for these ordering providers you see. Similar to geocoding, I tend to think of it very much like that. We've all at some point or another jumped onto Google Maps and, you know, typed in an address and you hit go and it sends out and sends it back and say, oh yeah, you know, I found it. It's a valid address, okay. But it also adds, you know, some details about it, where it is, some details about that location, what's around it. I kind of think of it in those terms. The software loops through each one of these records and finds matching candidates and scores associated with it, and then offers you these flexible select and match functions that let you really make quick work of a lot of these matching and the difficulties associated with a lot of variation in your data set. Those that have found a match, we can retrieve any of the associated variables with that matching index, the provider ID itself, the score, and anything else. So it's this cross-linking our data sets with available sources allows for this really flexible validation and a virtually unlimited extension of the data records we have. So for our data set, for our project, we pushed those 1.7 million records through this process. And what you're seeing here is a bit of a before and after snapshot of these data with our 3 types of providers in the color scheme on the left. Uncoded records in the red, and then the finished results on the right in the green. And in short, we were able to reduce our total number of unique provider names by about 79%, taking around 200,000 unique provider names as they were reported and reducing those down to about 42,000 unique providers out of that list. Then we were able to match approximately 87% of those using this reconciliation process and drag back attributes associated with it. And there was a 77% geocoding rate on those results as well. So once you've taken your list of provider names and you've validated it and you've added some details and you've built out this catalog, you can start to look at some of the features with this catalog itself. Some simple frequency counts. We can now look at testing lab type. Up on the left here, just a straight frequency, how many of our providers are hospitals, commercial labs, clinics, et cetera, et cetera. On the right, you can see the taxonomy from the National Provider Index. You can see how many of our data providers are internal medicine, nurse practitioner, pediatricians. No surprise there, I suppose. But it was a surprise to me, to scroll down the list here, there are 1,100 dentists in our practice. I'm sure some folks here can tell me why that is, but I don't know. In addition, we can start to look at this temporally. We can see how the validated rates of our provider index change over time. So the 8 years of our data set here, we can see how the total lab volume in the state of Massachusetts has increased year over year. And within that, there's actually been a slight drop in the number of invalid NPIs or unmatched national providers. In that list. So it's actually a very encouraging sign that although the volume has been increasing, the invalid number of our providers is dropping. We can also take our data set, and with that higher confidence, we can start to throw some more advanced analytic or visualization features at it. Calendar heat maps such as this one, we can explore the temporal variation across our providers. We can look at it spatially because of that reconciliation with a geocoding service. Nothing new there, but proportional symbol maps like this can let us look at these data with more confidence. But none of those techniques really get at what I had set out to do here, and let's look at the connections embedded in these data, that hierarchical set of providers. They're all connected, those 42,000 now providers. How do they link together? How do we understand that? How do we look at it? And what can that tell us about this group of providers? Well, that's where network graphs come in. And in order to, you've probably all seen some form of these network graphs, Facebook network graph of all the Facebook users around the planet and how they're all connected and so on. There was a good one I ran across about Enron email trail that's a publicly available set, and it's sort of a demonstration of who knew what and when. And there's countless other, sort of demo data sets out there. But the first thing we needed to do, we had all the data we needed, we just needed to restructure it into a matrix of sorts, where our providers are now nodes in this graph, and the connections are the edges between those nodes. We can use some graphing software and algorithms to lay out this network visually on the screen. Some mathematical functions in that software let us calculate and quantify this network. In addition, some simple graph analysis, now that we've laid it out and we have some details about it, we can look at the topology. We can look at the structure. Are there any clusters visible and communities defined within this network? And the connections between provider, or degree as it's called. We can look at centrality, that is, who are the influential providers in this set? Who connects various edges and big groups and large portions of this network? Or are they bridge providers, sort of nexuses in this chain? And then once we've pulled that all together, we can start to customize our graphs. We can use it to visualize and find patterns and start exploring. We can create compelling displays. At the very least, it's a very good way to present a lot of dense information and explain to people what we're looking at. We can look at variation by attributes in that catalog, sort of disease-specific groups. How do all the enteric diseases look in this picture? You know, does that network look much different than another group of diseases? We can look at various types of lab, commercial labs, hospitals, that sort of thing. Any variation is possible. We can animate it and play it back temporally. We can see how nodes blink into and out of existence and how much influence they have across the landscape. So what you see here is our provider catalog laid out in a network graph here. This is a static snapshot. I wasn't sure if I'd be able to get here, but if I got a moment, I want to show you the interactive version of this. Now, there's not a lot to see here when you see this massive hairball and you say, well, what good does that really do me? But tools like this, again, we're just going to zip down and I'm going to show you quickly how you can drill down into these, and you can see here we have our testing facilities in the purple, our ordering facilities in the blue, and all of the other little dots in there, those are all the ordering providers themselves. So again, this is just a zoomed-in snapshot of our data. We can select any one of these here, and we can start to explore. This is where we work at the Hinton State Lab in Massachusetts, and we can see how all of the providers that we work with that report directly to us are connected in our data set. We can see the size of these nodes varying based on the volume of labs that are communicated between these sources, and we can look at some of those measures or some of the metrics associated and attributes associated with those providers, and we can sort of navigate across this landscape and just explore at this point. So, in summary, we've shown how to distill and condense and standardize this really massive set of messy data into an accessible index. And with that, we then validated and enriched these data as a catalog, as I call it. And then we're able to create some compelling displays and explore how these providers are connected. And inevitably, you get to the point where you say, well, okay, that's great. You know, you got some nice colorful graphs. Good, but what does it really do for me? And that's where I struggle with it as well. And I respond to that by simply saying that we're really in an exploratory phase of the project right now. There are no answers or conclusions here. What we're showing you is basically just some tools and some processes that we put in place to start looking at our data a different way. a different perspective that I think hasn't been explored. We have all these providers out there, but what do we really know about them, and how can we learn more? So some of the questions that we've started generating in Massachusetts are looking at those disease-specific patterns I mentioned a moment ago, you know, enterics, vaccine preventables, or arboviral diseases. Can we discern any communities in this data? That is, mathematically, can the software determine what communities are out there, similarities? There are properties among groups of these providers that may not be evident to us, to the human eye, and what can that tell us? It doesn't know what these communities are. It doesn't know what's important about them, but it does know that they're out there. What can we do with that information? Clinician-provider catchment areas in the Affordable Care Act age, there's a lot more focus on this in GIS circles. I've seen a few presentations trying to determine patterns in service areas, and with those areas assess performance and accountability. Congregate living facilities, this is something we've bumped up against several times in the last few years. They're embedded and scattered all over our Maven system in one form or another. Can we extract those and model those in a similar fashion? Is there a way to do that? So in short, a lot more looking is necessary. We're really only scratching the surface with some of these techniques and ideas. So I'm hoping I can get some feedback from this group, perhaps after this presentation and as the conference moves forward, and get your ideas and thoughts. Has anybody else done anything like this, and any experiences, or what thoughts or ideas that might be out there? So a big thank you goes out to my colleagues at the Bureau of Infectious Disease and the Office of Research and Evaluation, and in particular those at the Office of Integrated Surveillance and Informatics Services.
Thank you. Thank you.